أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Before we start, I remind myself and all the brothers inshallah to renew their intentions for being in this gathering. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. Verily your deeds are judged by your intentions, and every man will have what he intended. So I remind you all to renew your intention of being in this gathering. Make your intention the highest of intentions, inshallah. With that, inshallah, we'll start. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Quran the story of Luqman radiallahu anhu. Luqman was a righteous man. He was known for his wisdom. In fact, some of the scholars even say that Luqman was one of the prophets. One of the stories we know about Luqman radiallahu anhu was that his people came to him and they said, "What are the two best organs in the body?" So he went, he slaughtered an animal, and he came back with two organs, the tongue and the heart, the two best, the tongue and the heart. They asked him, "What are the two worst organs in the body?" So he went away, he slaughtered an animal, and he came back with two organs. Again, the tongue and the heart. His people were confused. "We asked you for the best, you gave us tongue and the heart. We asked you for the worst, you gave us tongue and the heart. It doesn't make any sense." But subhanAllah, from the wisdom of Luqman, he said, "The tongue and the heart, if you use them for the wrong purposes, if you use them to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the worst of limbs. If you use them to backbite, if you use them to have envy and jealousy and many other things, they are the worst of limbs. But if you use them for the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these limbs, then they are the best of limbs, the best of organs." Subhanallah. And these two organs, subhanallah, they're essential. They're some of the most important organs when it comes to brotherhood. You will not have true brotherhood if you cannot purify these organs. You cannot. How do you purify them? To purify them, obviously you have to know the duties that are incumbent on you. You have to know the duties of these organs. For example, the tongue has many duties. Some of them are, for example, to defend the honor of your brother, to ensure that he's not being backbitten by anyone, to keep silent when he tells you a secret, to hold that trust no matter what happens. Whether you get into an argument, you have a fallout, you hang on to the secrets that he's entrusted you with. You use these organs to make excuses for your brother when he falters, when he makes a mistake. Make excuses for him. We don't look for his faults, make excuses for them. And for example, some of the duties of the heart are, for example, to love your brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To ensure that you don't have envy or suspicion or bad thoughts about your brother in your heart. To also wish for the best for your brother. These are all things that are in your heart. No one can see this. No one knows whether you wish the best for your brother or not. It's in your heart. But it's one of the duties of you, of the heart, to have and to wish the best for your brother. And this is the absolute minimum. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "La yu'min ahadukum hatta yuhibbu li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." That none of you would truly believe till you love for your brother what you love for yourself. That's just the minimum. That's the minimum of reaching iman. So you get there, but there's so much higher you can go, like loving your brother more than you love your own self. And inshallah, we'll go into this a bit further later on. I mentioned a few times loving for the sake of Allah. What does it mean to love someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What it means is to love someone purely and solely for the sake of Allah, that you love him because this person reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love this person because this person brings you closer to Allah. That through this person you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds you to do good and keeps you away from haram. You don't love this person for any other reason. Because if you love someone, for example, because he's rich, what happens when he goes poor? If you love him because he's funny, what about if he becomes boring? If you love him because he's popular, what if he loses all his friends? There goes that love. But when you build your love for someone on loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then as long as you stay true to Allah and your partner stays true to Allah, that love will stay between you till the day of judgment. and inshallah will extend to the hereafter, into paradise inshallah. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that if you love your brother, you should tell him. And in fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was in a gathering with some companions, and a man walked by. So one of the companions, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, I love that person." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Have you told him?" The man said, "No." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Go and tell him." Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him this? Why? The reason is because this will increase the brotherhood between them. For example, imagine someone came to you and said, "I love you for the sake of Allah." Automatically, you're going to love him a bit. Or a lot, inshallah. And you telling him that you love him, it's going to make him love you even more. And it shows that subhanAllah increases the bond and the brotherhood between you, and increases the love. And by doing it, you're giving him good news. So of course it's going to make him happy. It's quite the opposite when it comes to bad news. If you hear bad news, then you are not to tell the person. If, for example, you're in a gathering where a person is being backbitten or something happens, even though we shouldn't be in that gathering to start with, but if you hear something bad about your brother, or come to know bad news about your brother, you don't go and tell your brother this. Why? Because by doing this, you're the one that's causing your brother harm. The companions in Rasulullah ﷺ, they would never come to someone and tell them news that would upset them. Why? Because by you being the messenger and telling them this, you're causing more harm than the person who actually told you the news to start with. You're the one that's causing the most harm. But it's the opposite when it comes to good news. Because if your brother tells you some good news, or you hear some good news about your brother, and you go and tell your brother this, you're the one that's causing the direct benefit. You're benefiting your brother more than the person who said the good things. Because your brother wouldn't even know about it if it wasn't for you. But of course, when you keep company with a brother and you're close with a brother, you're sure to see bad things from your brother. You're sure to see shortcomings or sins or certain things from your brother. And it's very important for us to remember not to dwell on the bad deeds of our brothers or on the negative attributes of our brothers. There's a story about Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa. He was with his disciples, his companions. And there was a dog that walked by. This dog was disgusting. One of them said, "Look how hairy it is." The other said, "Look how smelly it is." The other said, "Look how disgusting." The other said, "Look how old." What did Isa alayhi salam say? Look how white its teeth are. SubhanAllah, this is Isa alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, and it's talking about a dog. Everyone is looking at the negative attributes of the dog, the negative characteristics, but Isa alayhi salam, he chose to look at the good and the positive characteristic of the dog. And this is a dog. Then how should we be towards our brothers in Islam? There's two main reasons why we shouldn't focus on the negative attributes, or two things that should keep us from focusing on the negative attributes in our brothers. The first one is that we're not perfect ourselves. Which one of you here doesn't have a sin or a fault that they wouldn't be embarrassed if someone else found out about? Every single one of us. So that should keep us from dwelling on the bad characteristics of our brothers, because we're not perfect ourselves. And the other thing is that there's no such thing as a perfect friend. Your brother has a shortcoming or a benefit or a sin that he does. Inshallah, it's your duty to help him. But at the same time, you're not going to find anyone who's innocent and perfect. So this should keep you as well from focusing and dwelling on the negative characteristics of your friend. The important thing when choosing a companion also is that you ensure that this person's good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, "There is no man who obeys Allah without ever disobeying him. And there is no man who disobeys Allah without ever obeying him. But so long as the person's good deeds outweigh their bad, this person is a righteous person. May Allah make us all among the righteous people." This is the kind of people that we should keep company with. Because we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that keeping good company is like being with the one who sells musk, or sells perfume. Imagine keeping company with the man who sells perfume the whole day. You spend the entire day with him. If he doesn't benefit you in some way, at the very least, at the end of the day, when you walk away, you have a nice smell. And when you keep company with bad people, when you keep bad company, if he doesn't harm you in some way, at the very least, you walk away with a black ash on you from the sparks that fly about. At the very least. SubhanAllah, it's very important that we keep company with the righteous, inshallah. So far I've mentioned a few things about the tongue and some of the duties of the tongue. But inshallah I'll mention a few things now which are both duties of the tongue and the heart. Things you have to keep and remember consciously to implement with your tongue and your heart. The same way that you shouldn't allow your tongue to speak bad and to look down upon your brother and speak bad about your brother, you shouldn't allow your heart to do the same thing either. It's very easy for us to maybe hold our tongue against a brother, but in our mind, in our hearts, we're thinking a million things about this person. We're talking about them, we're backbiting them, we're swearing at them, we're doing all sorts of things. And these are the kinds of things that shaitan, he looks for. Any opportunity where there's a little bit of some friction between two people, that shaitan, he dwells on that. He loves that opportunity so that he can get between two people and split them apart. And this is what, inshallah, we want to ensure that shaitan doesn't have a chance to do. When you see when you see bad characteristics of your brother, it's important for us all to remember to make excuses for this brother of ours, to make excuses for our brothers, both with our tongue and with our hearts. And remember that it's a Muslim brother, a believer, he makes excuses, but it's the hypocrite who looks for mistakes. The hypocrites of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would look for any opening, any chance that they could make Islam look bad, and they would stick their necks out. When there wasn't that chance, they would act like believers. They were fine. They pray like you and me. They pray next to us. They act exactly like us. But as soon as they saw the slightest chance for them to cause fitna, they would stick their necks out and make fitna and cause all sorts of havoc. But the believer, he makes excuses. For example, imagine you're walking down the street and you see your brother of yours. Say, Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. He doesn't reply to you. What would you think? He embarrassed me in front of everyone. He didn't return my salams. He's ignoring me. He's whatever. He's this. He's that. That's what the hypocrite will do. But the believer makes excuses. You know what? Maybe he didn't hear me. Well, you know what? Maybe he said wa alaykum salam, but I didn't hear him. It's very easy to make excuses. Inshallah, this is one of the attributes of the believers. They make excuses for our brothers, no matter how hard it may seem. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, you make 70 excuses for your brothers. 70 excuses. Can you imagine if your brother did something wrong? Can you even think of 70 excuses? Can you even think of 70 excuses? This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us to do. 70 excuses. And it's not just making excuses, you have to believe these excuses as well. It's easy to make a far-fetched excuse and say, yeah, but I know what really happened. I know why I made an excuse, but it can't be true. You make the excuse and you believe it as well. And subhanAllah, the story of Imam Abu Hanifa, one of the greatest mujtahideen, one of the greatest imams, he was in a company with his scholars. And a man came to him and he asked him a question. He said, Ya Imam, I want to ask you about a man. What do you say about a man who doesn't fear Allah? What do you say about a man who doesn't fear Allah? What do you say about a man who doesn't hope for Jannah? What do you say about a man who swears and testifies and takes oaths by something he hasn't even seen? What do you say about a man who runs from the mercy of Allah? What do you say about a man who prays without ruku' and sujood? What do you say about a man who loves fitna? What do you say about a man who hates certainty? What do you say about a man who eats that which wasn't slaughtered in a halal way? Ask yourself, if someone asks you about such a person, what would you think about him? How many of you thinking kafir? How many of you would think kafir? Doesn't fear Allah. Allah says in the Quran, ittaqullah, ittaqillah, fear Allah. This person doesn't fear Allah, doesn't have for Jannah, runs from the mercy of Allah. When he prays, doesn't even pray correctly because you have to make ruku' and sujood in your prayer. He loves fitna. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he asked his scholars around him, he asked, what do you say about a person? Some of them said, Allahu A'lam, they didn't want to speak. Others said, this person's in a lot of trouble. Look what Imam Abu Hanifa said. He said, I see signs of a true believer in this person. I see signs of a true believer in this person. What? Explain yourself. Please explain. I would love to hear this. Listen to the explanation. A man who doesn't fear Allah, he said, of course he doesn't. This person is a righteous person. He obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. He doesn't fear any injustice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should he fear injustice from Allah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just? He doesn't fear injustice from Allah. That's what I say the meaning of that is. Alright? The next one. He runs from the mercy of Allah. Oh, sorry, he doesn't hope for Jannah. Of course he doesn't hope for Jannah. The thing that's even greater than Jannah, the reward that's even greater than Jannah, is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what this person hopes for. He wants the greatest thing. Not second best, the greatest. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That's what he wants. Alright. Dave, he prays without ruku and sujood. How can his prayer even be valid? I say he prays janazah prayer. When you pray janazah, you don't make sujood and you don't make ruku. Janazah prayer. Alright. He runs from the mercy of Allah. Of course he does. He runs from the rain so he doesn't get wet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the rain is rahmah, it's mercy. It's the mercy of Allah. So he runs from the rain so he doesn't get wet. Alright. This person loves fitna. Of course. I say he loves his women, his children and his family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that your family and your children are fitna for you. He loves them. Subhanallah. Tayyib, he loves that which is certain. Of course he does. Which one of you doesn't hate death? Death is certain, but he hates death. Subhanallah. Alright. Tayyib, he swears by that which he hasn't seen. You know, if you say, oh, wallahi, I saw this, wallahi, I did this, and he hasn't done that, it's a major sin. Of course he swears by what she hasn't seen. He hasn't seen Allah, he hasn't seen Rasulullah. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Of course he does. Subhanallah. Tayyib, he eats that which isn't slaughtered in a halal way. Of course, he eats fish. You don't have to slaughter fish. It's halal no matter what. Subhanallah. Look at the excuses that he made for this man. A man he didn't even know. He'd never heard of this man before. He was asked, what do you say about such and such person? And subhanAllah, look at the husn al-dhan that he had. The good thoughts of his brother. Subhanallah. He made excuses. Not just did he make him, he believed these excuses. Subhanallah. If you ask someone these days, yani the majority of people are going to say this person's a kafir. They wouldn't spit on this person. But subhanAllah, look at the excuses that Imam Hanifa made. And this is the kind of example we need to follow. Subhanallah. Why is it that we have to make excuses for our brothers? Why is it that we have to have good thoughts of our brothers? It's for one reason. One main reason. And that's unity. That's to stick together. To make sure that shaitan doesn't have a chance to split us apart. And don't think that, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Shaitan's not going to split me and my brother apart. Because it happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. The story of Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet. His father Yaqub was a prophet. His father Ishaq was a prophet. And his father Ibrahim alayhi salam was a prophet. A family of prophets. If Yusuf himself was a prophet, but what happened? Shaitan came between the brothers. And they made his brothers, Shaitan made his brothers feel jealousy towards him. Shaitan made his brothers hate him. They were jealous of him because his father loved Yusuf more. So what happened? They even got to a level where they were planning to kill their own brother. That's the kind of thing that Shaitan can do between people. Not just any people, this is brothers, blood brothers. He can come between them and cause them to even conspire to kill one another. What happened eventually was that they threw him in a well and they banished him. Subhanallah. And you don't think that, you know, it can't happen, it's not going to happen to me. It happens. Wallahi, it happens. And it's happening now. Subhanallah. So even if you see a sin of your brother, if you see a sin, your brother, for example, openly commits a sin, something that you can't make an excuse for, something that's inexcusable. You try to make 70 excuses and you just can't, or there's no excuse for it. What do? We take the example of the salihin, the righteous people before us, that if they had someone in front of them who was committing haram, if this person disappeared from their sight even a fraction of a second, the next time they see them, they'll think this person repented for their sin. This person has repented for their sin. You don't hold that sin against them. No, this person has repented, and now they're a better Muslim than I am. They have more faith and more iman than I do. That's husn al-dhan, having good thoughts about your brothers. That's something we have to be conscious of continuously, inshallah. We have to remember, inshallah, that we have to treat our brothers the exact same way that we wish to be treated ourselves, or better. the exact same way we wish to be treated ourselves. And we know the story about the companions in Uhud, the battle of Uhud, three brothers who were dying. So a man came to the first one and said, "Are you thirsty?" He said, "Yes." He came to give him water and he said, "No, my brother over there is in more need of it than I am." So he went to the second brother to give him water. And he said, "No, my brother over there is in more need of it than I am. And his brothers are dying." So he went to the third brother and he had passed away. He went to the first brother and he had passed away. He went to the second brother, he had passed away. These brothers, subhanAllah, loved each other more than they loved their own selves. They loved the other more than they loved their own self. To the extent that they died because of that. They preferred their brother even though they knew that it would cause their own death. This is the kind of love and brotherhood that we need between ourselves, inshallah, and amongst ourselves. And this is also the love that the companions, rahimahumullah, used to have towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than their own selves. And we know the story about Khubayb ibn Adi. He was one of the companions who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent him on a battle, on a journey. And along the way he got captured by Quraysh. So Abu Sufyan, at this time, he was still a mushrik, still a kafir. He had him in front of all of Quraysh, crucified. He was hanging on a cross. And at this moment, just before he died, they tortured him and hung him on the cross. Abu Sufyan, he asked Khubayb, he said, "By Allah, don't you wish for us to let you go, release you, and that you're safe, and that Muhammad was in your place? Don't you wish that you're free, and instead of you being here, Muhammad's in your place?" He said, "No, by Allah, I would not wish that I'm free and with my family and comfortable in my home and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even get harmed by a thorn, by a simple thorn. He would rather be punished and tortured and crucified rather than have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hurt by even a thorn." SubhanAllah. May Allah grant this love between us all, inshaAllah. You have to remember, inshallah, that the very minimum is to treat our brother the way we expect to be treated. The very minimum. Absolute minimum. Allah SWT says in the Quran, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Now this verse is talking about trade, in the context of trade, but it applies here as well. The verse, what it's talking about, is about those who, when they're doing business transactions, for example, let's say they're selling vegetables. When they're selling, let's say that someone asks them for a kilo of vegetables. They'll give them less than a kilo, but charge them for 1 kilo. So they're being stingy and they're making some extra money on the side. But when they want to buy something, they make sure that they're getting their right. They make sure that they're getting treated fairly. Likewise, in this verse comes the hukm of what we're talking about here, that you treat your brother exactly the same way that you wish to be treated. You don't treat him one way and then expect him to treat you even better than you treated him. The very minimum is that you treat him the same way you expect to be treated yourself. The very minimum. Inshallah, brothers, I know it's late, inshallah, so we'll wrap up quickly, inshallah. But I remind you second, that our tongues, wallahi, our tongues are very dangerous. In fact, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he used to hold his tongue. He used to hold his tongue and say, "Woe to you. How much trouble you have gotten me in." Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the best friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first Khalifa of Islam, the only man who led prayers in absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he's guaranteed paradise, holding his tongue saying, "How much trouble you've got me in." How about us? How about us? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions a hadith that a person, a believer, he'll do the actions. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person will say something so light, doesn't even realize what it is. But that saying that he said will plunge him 70 years in the hellfire. 70 years. This is the problem with our tongues. That we can say things without even realizing it. Without even realizing, subhanAllah. We're going to be judged on every single word that comes out of our mouth. Every single word. Every single one. So before you say it, weigh it. Think about what you're saying. Think about it. Is it worth saying this word? By saying this word, am I going to get anything from it? Am I going to benefit? No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us to speak good words or to keep silent? So ask yourself what I'm saying. Is it a good word? Is it a good word? If it's not, even if it's not a sin, it's just okay, it's not, you're not getting any benefit from it, you shouldn't say it. The things that we have to say are the good words, and only the good words. Rasulullah said, speak good words or keep silent. So if it was what you're saying, if you can't see any benefit coming from it, you know you're not going to get ajr for saying it, then don't say it. If you don't get punished for it, at the very least, you're going to get questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. Why did you say this and this? And we know, wallahi, we don't need any more judgment on the Day of Judgment more than we're going to get. SubhanAllah. And think to yourself that your tongue is a prisoner. Your tongue is a prisoner. It's stuck behind two prisons. One are your teeth. The other one is your lips. Two prisons. That's how dangerous it is. Here, generally speaking, when someone's dangerous, what do? They put him in prison. Behind one set of bars. Your tongue is that dangerous, it's behind two. It's behind two. Your teeth and your lips. Use them. Ensure that nothing comes out of your mouth except the good words. Except the good words. And with regards to your heart, some of the things you have to emulate with your heart, you have to keep in mind that you have to consciously try and implement the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most gracious, the most merciful. The most merciful. So we, as Muslims, have to have mercy between one another. If someone wrongs you, you forgive them. You have mercy on them. يَرْحَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Have mercy upon those who are in the land, on the land with you, and the one that's in the heavens will have mercy upon you. We know that one of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was with some companions and a man walked by, and he said, sorry, before the man walked by, he said, a man is going to enter now, and he's from the people of paradise. And the man that entered was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Again, the next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man is going to enter now, and he's one of the people of paradise. Again, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas entered. So Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, he saw this, and he thought, SubhanAllah, if he's one of the people of paradise, I want to see what he's doing and try to implement it. If he's going to enter Jannah, I want to know what he's doing so I can do the same thing, so I can enter Jannah as well. So he went to him and he said, can I stay with you for a few days? Sa'd ibn Waqqas said, okay, no worries. So he stayed with him. Anyway, so he started watching him. What does he do? Is he doing extra prayers, extra fasting, extra Qur'an? What's he doing? He watches him. SubhanAllah. You know what? I think I'm doing more than he does. What's he doing that I'm not doing? I do everything that he does and more. Why is he guaranteed paradise? So he asked him, well, the reason I came to stay with you was because Rasulullah ﷺ, he said that you're guaranteed paradise. And I want to know why. He said, and this is what he said, Allahu Alam, this is the reason for this is because by the time I go to bed at night, before my head even hits the pillow, I have forgiven every single person. Every single person. I don't hold anything in my heart against anyone who has ever wronged me. I don't hold anything in my heart. My heart. Why? It's not talking, it's in your heart. It's a feeling in your heart. He's forgiven every single person who has ever wronged him. Before his head even hits the pillow. Through the rahmah that he showed to his fellow human beings and forgiving them for their wrongs and forgiving them for things they've done against him, even though he's got a right, he still forgives them for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed this man Jannah. May Allah guarantee us all Jannah, inshaAllah. Finally, inshallah, I remind you all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that on the day of judgment, the sun is going to be 1 mile over our heads. And what's that? Less than 2 kilometers. On a hot day here, on a hot day, the sun is, Allah knows how many millions of kilometers away. But on a hot day, all we can think about is going to the beach, or going for a swim, or cooling down, or doing something. On a day of judgment, the sun is going to be 1 mile above our heads. 1 mile. And there isn't going to be any shade. There's not going to be any water. There is not going to be any shade at all, except for the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only ones that will be shaded under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are 7 types of people. One of those types of people are 2 brothers who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us all among those people, inshaAllah, and shade us on the day of judgment under His shade, when there is no shade except His shade, inshaAllah. Inshallah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive every single one of us. That by the time we get up from this masjid, inshaAllah, every single one of us has all their sins forgiven. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.